You are now listening to the Motivational Mentors Podcast with your hosts, Luke Burrows.
Touch on morning routines. I think people have to find something that works for them.
And Arsenio Buck.
Hey, Arsenio, let's go party. Hey, party. If someone asked me to party right now, Luke, come on. What the hell's a party? What? A party for what?
All right, guys, what's going on? And welcome back to another episode of Motivational Mentors. And today, guys, we are joined by a special guest, Hannah Galliers, who actually is probably about 45 minutes away from where I live. And I connected with Hannah through the power of Facebook, just like Arsenio. So it's a pleasure to have both Hannah and Arsenio join me today for this episode. But guys, are you both on the line?
Yes, sir. I am here. What's going on, Hannah?
Hi, thanks for having me, guys.
No worries. Our pleasure. So for our listeners, could you give a little bit about yourself? I know personal performance coach and you're really hot on mindfulness and everything. Yeah, could you dive into mindfulness a little bit more and some of the strategies that you use to help the people that you work with?
Yeah, of course. So what I'll do is I'll start with a little bit of how my background and where I come from, and then I'll show how I've used that to make massive changes in my life and how I use the techniques that I've learned and other techniques with my clients. My background is I was actually an accountant, and so that was, for me, a really demanding job. I progressed very quickly because I was good at maths, but it's never something I loved, and I always felt so unfulfilled. I hate going to work. And I always knew I wanted to do more with my life. I always wanted to help people. And then after a few really bad life incidences, I suffered really badly from mental health issues, anxiety and depression, and it kind of consumed my life. And I could never see past it for a long, long time. I struggled to leave the house a lot of days, and I actually came across meditation. One of my friends recommended to me because I'd done a mindfulness course through my job, and I fell in love with it. I found that having that headspace to allow me to process things just was actually the benefits were tenfold. And so I always knew that that was such a big part of my life. I then started coaching probably about a year ago. I came across it and I started studying it, and so then since then it's been the whole change of my mindset, and it's being able to process that, looking at the everyday, the power of the now, rather than worrying about what's going to happen, which can cause anxiety, or worrying about what has happened, which obviously can cause depression and anxiety as well. And it's about appreciating what you have now, and I find that it's quite a widespread thing that's an issue, that people are struggling to be able to see that in the here and now. And I think it's not necessarily individual people's problems, but I think it is. It's almost a collective thing, and I just want to help people break from that cycle.
Yeah, definitely. And so actually I've got a question to ask you here. If you always knew you wanted to, you know, do something more with your life, how then did you get into like the accounting side of things? Was that from just like conditioning, or was that, you know, you didn't actually know what, in terms of like helping people, like you didn't know in what way, and so, you know, accounting was just kind of like your backup plan? How did you get into accounting, if that makes sense?
So I guess it's a bit more of some perhaps societal pressures. You should go get a 9-to-5 job, you should go earn money. This is what you should be doing. And at the end of the day, shoulds aren't motivating. But again, we all fall into the trap of trying to be who our parents want to be, who society wants us to be. Sorry, excuse me. And, you know, that's completely natural for us to want those things. And I think especially when you're in your late teens or your early 20s, it's completely normal for us to think like that. And it's not until perhaps you grow. I mean, this growth could be any point in anyone's life. I'm not saying that everyone will have this epiphany at 25. Some people may be happy in that 9-to-5. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying that for me anyway, I was kind of told that this is what you should be doing. You know, you're good at maths. You should go get a good job in accounting. You've got a bit of experience. It seems natural. Like you can't just do something you love for a living. Don't be silly. No one loves their job. And after doing it for probably four or five years and just not being happy and not enjoying every day, I realized that there is more to life. There is so much more to life. And when your job starts taking over the precious free time you have, it's time to make a change. You only have today, really, to really make a difference. And why do something you hate?
It's interesting because as well as she was saying that, I just remember when I was working as a dental assistant in the heart of the CBD of Sydney out there in Australia, you know, in King's Cross. And I remember that I kept looking out the window and saying, I should be outside. But I really never thought about that out-of-body experience. I didn't know what was really happening inside my mind, but I hated my job so much that I couldn't communicate much when I just wanted to talk to everyone. And I knew exactly what Hannah was going through because, you know, just being someone who would just clean up the saliva and other bodily orifices of someone else, man, I'm like, dude, I think there is so much more in life to this. You know, I was able to see Australia. Maybe I got this profession just to come out here to see Australia, and then I'm going to find something ultimately along the way, and that's what I did. So that's amazing. And so the meditation process. So how did you end up stumbling upon that, and how did you start accessing different parts of your mind, like in terms of meditation? Because I had that same experience too.
So, as I mentioned, it was actually a friend that recommended a meditation class to me. I was probably 25, I think, at the time. It was for young people. And so we went together, and it was kind of very basic meditation. It was just sat in a chair, and it was only sort of 10 minutes per meditation. It was a guided meditation as well to help ease you in and help you understand what you need to be doing during that time. And when I found the benefits really helpful, I signed up to go to a retreat. So once a year, every year, I go to a meditation retreat. I always do it on the second bank holiday weekend in May. And I learn a lot more about Buddhism, actually. But I'm not a practiced Buddhist or anything like that. I just think some of the practices are really useful in terms of the meditation and mindfulness. And there's lots of different things I've learned while I've been there. One of the biggest things for me is forgiveness practice. So, when my last retreat last year, we did a whole morning about forgiveness, where you'd spend half an hour, on different areas of your life, four different corners of your life. And then to push the practice, you face different, corners of the room. And so the biggest thing for me was forgiving myself. And that's something I've worked a lot on. A lot of people think meditation is about just shutting your eyes and just sitting there. And actually, it's about having an awake alertness, but being relaxed. Right. It sounds a bit of an oxymoron to hear. But the more you do it, the more you become used to that state of mind. For me, anyway, I found it a lot more exhausting than actually just normal every day when you're not present. And I find myself, even now after being practicing this for 3 or 4 years now, I still find myself slipping into living inside my head. When you're not present, you're constantly thinking about different things and you find time just flies past you. I would say if someone is looking to start this practice, like just start it, just pick one small activity, but then give yourself entirely to that activity. Just not notice when your brain is trying to take you away to all the worries or anything. You know, even if it's nice daydreams, you're still coming away from the now. I mean, so I try and do it like if I'm really stressed, I'll have like a cup of tea and just try and be fully present with that cup of tea and think about how it tastes, how hot it is, and just think about all the senses. I'm making sure that my brain is completely and fully there. And that, I guess, is like the very basics of meditation. I guess some people would find it easier having an activity rather than doing meditation, because in meditation, it's not nothing. Obviously, it is a complete But it's almost a complete different presence compared to every day.
Interesting. So yeah, that actually was going to be my next question in terms of how do people get started? Because I think that people have this perception of it that may turn them off, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like how
like
would
it turn you off when you first, yeah, sorry, Luke. Like I remember you posted it and you said, oh, I used to think that meditation was just about doing this, and you put some emoticons on a Facebook post.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just like sitting there and like, you know, some kind of like weird position or something, like your hands in the air or something. Absolutely. But, you know, I agree with Hannah that, you know, it's completely helped me as well. So, I mean, you answered my next question in terms of how would you recommend to get people started. Are there any other kind of mindfulness strategies or tips other than meditation specifically that you also recommend? Or is meditation like the big one that you believe in and you recommend that to all of your clients?
I think obviously every client is different. But another really big thing for me is gratitude lists. So if I'm having a really tough time, I keep thinking about all the bad things that are happening. So sometimes, you know, we can't help all the life situation, bad things that happen. You know, bad things happen, and that's a fact of life, but it's how they affect you. And sometimes you have to have a little bit of help to realize what good there is. So gratitude lists are where you every day, maybe before bed or when you get up, you write 3 or 4 things that you're really grateful for. You know, you can repeat things on the same day, and they could be something really silly like, oh, I got a lion this morning for 20 minutes. I'm really grateful about that. But it helps you then change your mindset and helps break the pattern away from all these bad things are happening to me all the time. And it helps you give that headspace. What all these little tips and techniques, what they're doing is they're trying to separate you from your mind. Now, I know that sounds weird, but your mind can get run away with you. And it's about bringing that emotional response back into your control.
You know, I just love it. I have so many experiences, or I have had so many different experiences with meditation. I remember the first meditation I heard, Hannah, was when it was Bob Proctor, okay? And this was back in 2015. And he had this meditation on YouTube I would listen to every single morning before I went to work around 9 a.m. I still remember. I remember the atmosphere. I remember the light, the sunshine that was actually coming through my window at that time. It was a blue room, and it was just very cold, and I would like to just relax myself so much for those 20 minutes. And after I woke up, I just felt like on top of the world. But then I started searching for other applications, and then of course I came across Glenn Harold, and he's out there from England, I'm not exactly sure, but then he had an application, and then I realized all those, you know, everything he had on those applications are on YouTube, and that has helped me a significant amount. And I remember one time I was actually getting a spa and massage, and I went probably into the deepest, I don't know what deep space I actually entered, but I still remember vividly that while listening to that, while getting a massage, I went into some kind of chamber, and I still remember, because I remember there were just like, I don't know if it was red beds or if there were just beds around there. It was a black room and there were just 4 red beds. And I mean, that sounds like something out of a horror film, but honestly, it was just such a sense of bliss. And I've never, ever felt that before in my life. I swear, I think I went in such, I don't know what it was, to be honest with you, but I remember when I woke up, I had a smile from one corner of my eye to the other. Oh my God. I don't know what it was, man, but I wish I could go back. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I've had some interesting experiences. I still don't know what that was. I don't know how to explain it or whatnot, but I still remember those vivid pictures in that environment that I was in. It was just so weird. It was like crystal red. Does that make sense? Crystal red, red ruby, whatever you want to call it, ruby red, you name it. Okay, but yeah, just trying to give you guys a picture. But yeah, I've had some experiences. Have you ever had experiences, Hannah? And what can someone, do you think meditation would scare people? Because me, if that would happen just to the average Joe, oh my God, they'd probably get terrified. You know, so I'm like, what was that? What the hell's going on? Like, you know, they probably think something opened in their mind, but yeah, what do you think?
So I think, so for the imagery you're talking about, it's so I guess individual for everyone. I find I get a lot of that whenever I go on retreats. So I do probably this year I'm going to be doing the longest one, which is 5 days, but generally I do about 3 or 4 days, and that's just meditation in silence. But I had a very similar experience. Was it last? No, it was 2 years ago. We did one specifically all about, I think it was called Freeing Your Heart, Opening Your Mind. And it was all about actually connecting with Mother Nature and things like that. And it was opening ourselves up to the possibility of different energies. Okay, this might sound a little bit crazy, but so I took some time in the garden, and like I sat with this tree, and I had this massive like almost epiphany moment where like you just felt a sudden sense of calm. So I didn't get necessarily the imagery you spoke about, but for me what I get from meditation is a lot more of a feeling. It's kind of, how can I describe it? It's the biggest for me. It's just I get an all sense of like all around my body. It's the most powerful, warm, healing energy feeling. So when I go on these retreats for the 3 or 4 days, it almost feels like my energy is being cleansed because I'm getting rid of, like, I'm having time. I call it my yearly MOT for my brain, because I'm getting rid of all the horrible things that have gone through the past year, and I'm processing them. And so, yeah, I find that I have imagery of almost lights rather than, it's more abstract perhaps than your very clear imagery. But I'm a very feelings-based person, so perhaps that's why I get those feelings-based benefits.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, like, it comes back to each individual person's experiences. So that's why, just from, you know, from what I know, in Hannah, you probably know a lot more about mindfulness and that. But, you know, just going back to what Arsenio was talking about, it's obviously to do with his experiences and that. And you know, the same with you, you know. So I think, again, it's experiences like you mentioned. One thing I do want to touch upon is what you said in the beginning about, was it?
Buddhism.
Yeah. So what is it that attracts you to that? Because I'm just interested to know some of the things that attracts you to that. Because again, like when I have seen, those sort of things, you know, I am interested, I suppose, in some of the, I don't know, would you call it culture?
So I'm not a practicing Buddhist. I'm not actually religious in any way, but what attracts me to Buddhism over any other religion is it's more of an individual journey, which is something I'm on anyway. And so what I like about mindfulness and meditation is that you can be in it as little as you want or as much as you want. And so when I talk about going on the retreats, I'm going full into it because it's a Buddhist meditation retreat center. So what I have learned from going to these places is, I guess, how everyone there really commits to that way of life. I've never seen people with such little be so happy. I mean, I haven't traveled that much, so I'm not going to say there aren't happier people out there. That is something I do want to change. But, I mean, these people, they offer service. They don't do this for money. There's a practice called Dana, which is where you pay what you feel it's worth. So they don't tell you how much to pay. It's whatever your heart tells you. And these people, they do well from it. And it's kindness brought by kindness. And the people that run the place, again, they do it for free, and it's just one of the most peaceful places on earth. I want to go to Tibet one day. I want to travel all Southeast Asia, because this for me has been a bit of a calling, and so that's on my to-do list, and just go experience over there. I've met loads of people at this place in the UK, and they say it's completely different out there, like in terms of how they meditate and things like that, and how it sometimes it's more guided. And I want to go and experience a retreat over there as well.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to, sorry, Arsenio, I'll bring you in a minute. Just to go back to calling. I mean, Arsenio, isn't that what you had when you went to, was it Australia and then to Thailand?
In terms of?
You know, that kind of, forgive me if I'm wrong, that kind of like inner voice of to go, you know, to these places?
You know what? I think, well, oh my God, what was that? Well, actually, okay, so a voice that I'm actually hearing me say, like right now, is telling me to go to Egypt. And you know what? I've been hearing that voice since I was about 6 years old. And I don't know what it is, but honestly, I've had the dreams. I've seen so many different things over the course of my life over the last 25 years, and all things are pointing towards Egypt. Now, of course, coming here to Thailand, I felt that there was just much more to, you know, basically just going back from Australia all the way back to Las Vegas. And I said, no, man, I'm going to travel through. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Thailand, but I'm scared they might kill me. Like, literally, that was my mindset. It was so stupid. But yeah, I came here for, what, 6 to 7 days. And then after I went back to America, I realized that America was no longer for me. I've achieved everything there. And I needed to come back here. I felt that there was a calling. Yes, Luke. Yes, I felt that there was a calling for me to come back to Asia. However, that calling wasn't like a wonderful calling, like, come here, you're going to achieve all the success. No, I had to go through 2 years of psychological warfare to overcome myself in order to achieve the things I'm, you know, achieving today. So I guess that calling, some calling, I guess you could say some people might say, you know, I've been directed in this direction and it didn't turn out this way. Well, sometimes our greatest motivations, they come wrapped in sandpaper. And I mean, mine came wrapped in like spikes and barbed wire and nail bats, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? So the callings, yeah, yeah. I mean, and honestly, I've heard a lot of people. We had Kristen on probably last November. And Kristen, she does a lot of meditations and retreats in Chiang Mai, which is north from here. And she has a lot of outer body and different experiences through meditation in Chiang Mai. Why? I don't know why. But again, the blend of Buddhism, well, the culture in general, and just the calmness in the environment, all of that put together, that's why she's always attracted to that place.
Yeah, one of my first meditation tutors, actually, she said for her, she got into meditation at a very young age, and then she kind of left it for a long time. And then she found she always ended up coming back to it in any time of need. And that's when she decided to become a meditation practitioner. And that's what she does. I'm always been a massive believer of you will end up on the right path and everything happens for a reason. I think even the horrible experiences that you were describing, the wrapped in sandpaper and things, I think that is all because it's helped you grow and get to where you are now. You know, I think without conflict or without challenges, we'll never grow. So
I mean, that's a very interesting point. And I mean, just in general, did meditation ultimately help me throughout the process? Absolutely. I think that with that in the conjunction of personal development and whatnot, are there any apps or any kind of methods or anything? And do you know about chakra? So first, let me ask you first, the methods. What kind of methods or what kind of applications would you like recommend? How would like a beginner just get started? Is there a specific like meditation for beginners, or is there this, or is there that? What do you think?
Right. So I've got probably three recommendations for anyone who wants to get started in meditation. One, there's a really good app that you can get there's a trial for free, or there's part of it you can use for free. It's an app called Calm. So this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's really excellent. Yeah, yeah. And so you can have the choice of guided meditation, which is really good for beginners. Or they have other calming nature noises, which we all love. There's also one called Headspace, but that's a paid for app. But also I can really recommend it. But the biggest thing I think that anyone should do if they really want to get started is go to a class. I'm very lucky here in Cheltenham. We've got two centres that do meditation, and they do beginners classes, drop-in classes. And then we also have, the retreat centre I go to is a place called Gaia House. And they have Friends of Gaia House all around the country where different mentors from the centre will host monthly meetings. And that's also a really good way A, meet people and hear people's experiences. I guess what really started to cement for me my practice was going on retreat. Now, I know that's not for everyone, but they did a two-day experience for designed just for young people. So you met people that perhaps it was their first time meditating, but it was just such a nice environment. So yeah, those would be my recommendations. Use an app. Also, there's so much on YouTube, but I choose not to use YouTube because there's adverts, and sometimes, you know, it could stop when you're halfway through your practice. You might want it to go on, and then you don't want it being ruined by adverts personally. So I would say either Calm or Headspace, or go to a class, because obviously the tutors and the mentors are so approachable. You know, if you're not sure what you're doing, or you're not sure you're doing right, it's fine. They'll guide you. So those are my recommendations.
Awesome. Arsenio, was there something else you wanted to ask?
Yeah. You know what? Chakra. Do you know anything about the chakra?
I don't, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know because, I've heard so many things about like Glenn Harold. He has one of the recordings, and it's like a 50-minute recording. Apparently there's our heart chakra. There's like, I don't know, 5-6 different energy areas in the body.
Yeah.
A guy that I actually met at a restaurant, he told me about it here in Thailand. He's like, listen, I want to tell you about my experience I had out there in Sedona, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Of course, being out there in the Indian reservations, he was very depressed. He wanted to go back home. And then he had, again, an experience, and it wasn't even meditation, but he said he had something go through one of his energy chakras. I don't know which one it was, but I think it was somewhere around the stomach. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up falling down like at the base of this canyon, not like falling down, but kneeling down. And then he went from crying to pure bliss. It was so crazy, you know? So that's why I really want to learn about these chakras and whatnot. So
they're, I know they're through the center of your body.
That means there's a heart, the stomach. Yeah.
It is on my ever-growing list of things to read about. So yeah, that is another thing I want to learn more about this year. So perhaps we'll keep in touch about them and teach each other.
There you go. Sounds good. Sounds good. Man, I'm going to start doing a lot of research on this because that is super interesting to know. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I have no idea what you're talking
about. Lucas, I knew it because Luke was just standing back. He's like, man, I think this is like way over my head. Oh man, it happens. It happens, definitely, you know. Man.
Definitely around it. So just to wrap this up then, Hannah, I wanted to ask you, I mean, I know the benefits, Arsenio does, obviously you do. What are some of the real key benefits that you would say to our audience of why doing the things and taking our recommendations is good
for them? Okay, so I would say benefit number one is mental health. For me, it's one of the biggest things that really helped me with my mental health issues. Because it gives you that chance to escape your own mind. And number two is just clarity. It will help you give yourself the time that you need to help clarify things in your life and process things in your life. And then lastly, I would just say general well-being. We've all said that we've experienced such benefits from it, and even such powerful, warming, you know, wonderful experiences. I think to help you get the most from your life and experience these things, then I would say just go for it.
Okay, awesome. So Hannah, how do people get in touch with you if they want to work with you, or they want to learn more about mindfulness? What is the best place to get in touch?
So the best place is either on Instagram or on Facebook. It's the Mindfulness Coach, but it's mindful as in like a full cup of water, because I want you to have a full life. So the Mindfulness Coach. or just search Hannah Galliers and I'll come up, because there's no other Hannah Galliers is out there, it seems. So
awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today, Hannah. It's been a blast. And we'll have to bring you back on maybe in the summer or towards the end of this year, see all of the great stuff that I know you've got planned for 2019. But a huge thanks for jumping out today. And
thanks, guys. Thanks. I lost my words there right at the end. It's been great. Thank you so much, guys, for having me. And I can't wait to speak to you again soon.
Cheers.
Nice speaking to you.
Nice speaking to you, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah. Speak to you soon.
Did you find this episode helpful? If you did, please leave a review and don't forget to subscribe. New episodes of the Motivational Mentors podcast are available every Tuesday and Friday.